We've got your tournament coverage right here on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by HelloFresh. This spring, HelloFresh is delivering great-tasting recipes that help you stick to your food goals, like new dietitian win options that are under 700 calories. Go to HelloFresh.com/Hoops60 and use promo code Hoops60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/Hoops60 and use promo code HOOPS60. Now, back to the show.
All right, as we continue on here on a Friday afternoon, as you heard the man say, our tournament coverage and guest spots are brought to you by HelloFresh. This spring, HelloFresh is delivering great-tasting recipes that help you stick to your food goals, like new dietitian win options that are under 700 calories. Go to HelloFresh.com/Hoops60, code Hoops60, to get 60% off plus free shipping. We bring on now David Cobb from CBS Sports, kind enough to join us to talk more March Madness. David, thanks a lot for your time. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you guys?
Doing pretty well. We just finished talking about Kansas State's win last night at the Garden, and you know, whether you think Kansas State, Michigan State, or Gonzaga, UCLA was a better game, you know, that's kind of six of one, half a dozen of another. But when you look at what Kansas State has been able to accomplish this year and how quickly the Wildcats have turned things around, picked to finish last in the Big 12, how much of a blueprint can this be for other teams, you know, Power 5 teams that say, if you get the right guy in there, and you think about it, Jerome Tang sat around a while at Baylor, kind of waiting for the right job and ended up getting the K-State job. If you get the right guy in there, you can turn it around fast, right?
You can turn it around fast in the transfer portal era. Keontae Johnson for Kansas State has been such a difference maker, and they did not add him to the roster until August. Classes may have already started by the time he committed to Kansas State. It was so late in the game. But give a ton of credit to Jerome Tang for, in year one as a head coach, getting this thing flipped so quickly. And this is going to do nothing to ease the patience of other fan bases around the country. And in some ways, I'm sure there are other coaches around the country who are just dreading the expectations that they will now be saddled with because of how quickly Jerome Tang was able to get it turned around. But a pretty remarkable story for the Wildcats, and I think they summed it up perfectly on the TV broadcast last night when they said that not a single member of that Kansas State roster initially signed with K-State out of high school, and yet here they are playing their best basketball and headed to the Elite Eight.
How do you like their matchup against FAU? I mean, I think obviously Kansas State's going to go in a favorite, but FAU doesn't seem bothered by anything.
Yeah, exactly. They are no fluke. They're not cute. They're not Cinderella. FAU is really good, flew under the radar this season in a Conference USA that actually turned out to be not so bad, because if you go and look, UAB and North Texas met deep in IT runs.
Yep.
Still alive, actually, I think both of them. I'd have to double-check that. I don't really pay attention to the NIT this time of year. But my point being, Conference USA was not bad relative to its historical standard. And FAU pretty much ran the league. So to see them having some success in the NCAA tournament isn't shocking. And it certainly helped them that they got an open path. They didn't have to deal with Purdue. They got to play Fairleigh Dickinson instead. And then instead of a hot Duke team, they ended up against a Tennessee team that really struggles to score. So FAU's had a nice path, but they're also very deserving of where they are. They aren't a flash in the pan or some team that just caught fire at the right time. In fact, they've actually been shooting the ball at a lower clip than they did for most of this season.
What happened to Tennessee last night? It just felt like, you know, and I'm sure Vols fans will say, and probably Texas fans will say, hey, seen that script before with Rick Barnes in March and unable to kind of adjust and figure things out, but they just weren't making shots.
Yeah, that's been the story for Tennessee all year. The offense has been pretty bad. The defense has been great, and the defense kind of let them down a little bit there in the second half. Florida Atlantic was able to start running, and they were able to start breaking down Tennessee's defense, getting into the lane, and then passing to open shooters. And that's not something that Tennessee's defense often allows you to do. So that was a bit of a surprise that the defense kind of wilted a little bit as well in the second half for Tennessee. But given where Tennessee was in February, they closed the season losing five of their, they were 5-7 over their last 12 games in the regular season. So for them to make the Sweet 16 with a victory over Duke, it felt like that was probably about the ceiling for a Rick Barnes coach team.
Okay, let's go to the West region and start with that UCLA-Gonzaga game. I mean, every time these two teams, you know, throw the ball up in the NCAA tournament, it seems to deliver some crazy moments. What can you say? The thing that really stands out to me, David, is the mental fortitude and the just kind of resiliency that Gonzaga has shown, not just this year, but in years past. They were down by 10 at halftime in the round of 32 last year against Memphis, down at half against TCU this year, down by 13 against UCLA last night. And, you know, Mark Few, his teams just kind of keep chipping away and they never go away, do they?
Yeah, exactly. That game, I actually think the Kansas State-Michigan State game was a better game, but the ending of UCLA Gonzaga may have been the wildest. And honestly, I feel for both teams like they've got something to be proud of there. For Gonzaga, obviously they came out with a win, but to battle back from a 13-point halftime deficit to win against a really good team, that's incredible. And then for UCLA, they were without Jalen Clark, mm-hmm. who's out for the year due to an Achilles injury. They're their best perimeter defender, their third leading scorer. You're already down Jalen Clark, and then you're without Adem Bona, who is their starting center and the guy who you would have put on Drew Timmy defensively.
Yeah.
So for the fact that they were able to open up a 13-point lead and then in the final minute erase an 8-point deficit and take the lead with 14 seconds left, just a wild game. UCLA really impresses me under Mick Cronin. And I know they haven't gotten to the finish line and hung a banner yet, but it just seems to me like he gets every ounce every year out of what he's got on the roster.
Sure.
And that's the way I feel about this year's UCLA team too, even though I know that their fans are certainly disappointed right now.
Miami, Houston, Xavier, Texas, Creighton, Princeton, San Diego State, Alabama. What's your favorite game tonight?
Yeah, I think Houston, Miami could get pretty good. It's a contrast in styles, and we've seen Houston struggle in the first half of games at times this season. We saw them have to kind of come from behind some against some inferior opponents during AAC play. And we saw them trailing by 10 against Auburn in the second round last week. So if you're a betting person, I would be considering the Miami first half money line there.
Okay.
The Canes are fast. They like to run. Their guards are difficult to handle. And Kelvin Sampson has proven to be an amazing halftime adjustment type
sure.
of coach. So maybe the Cougars get it figured out over the long haul, but it's an oil and water type of game because Houston goes real, real slow and Miami likes to go fast. So I think it may take Houston a little while to get the game and the pace of the game under control and to their liking.
David, Xavier playing Texas, Creighton playing Princeton, and last night UConn continues to look. I think UConn has played the best out of any team in the tournament. So the Big East and the collective quality of play that we've seen out of the league, I don't really think it comes as a huge surprise. I think this has always been a pretty good league since it was reconfigured, and now I think since that reconfiguration in 2013, this is the best the Big East has been, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. In a year where the Big Ten has already been eliminated, the SEC is down to one team remaining, the Big 12 numbers dwindling fast with K-State left as the only representative, it's the Big East that's standing atop the heap in terms of conference supremacy in college basketball right now. And I think the league is only going to improve from here. You've got Villanova, which was going through a transition year, and they weren't even in the picture. So
sure.
as Kyle Neptune gets that program back up and running, and Rick Pitino,
yep.
hello, he steps into St. John's, yes. And then, of course, there's nowhere for Georgetown to go but up. So, yeah, we're talking about a great season for the Big East and probably even bigger things on the horizon for that conference. And so huge opportunity. Huge opportunity tonight. If they can even advance one of these two teams on to the Elite Eight, it would really put a nice cap on a solid year for that conference.
Yeah, that's a good point. All they need is one, and they got a quarter of the Elite Eight. So be really impressive. Last one, do you agree Connecticut has been the best team in this tournament?
Oh, man, yes. They've won all three of their games by double digits so far in the tournament. There's so many different ways they can beat you. You try and collapse in on Adama Sanogo, and then all of a sudden he kicks out to Newton and Hawkins
yeah.
and Calcaterra, and the list goes on. These guys can shoot it. So they're just so difficult to defend. And what impressed me the most last night was going into that game against Arkansas, you're a little worried that Arkansas wants to play fast. Arkansas thrives on forcing turnovers. Well, in that first half, UConn had 7 foot two Donovan Klingon running the floor, running the break and finishing the oops and getting back in transition and blocking shots. It was like, they're like, okay, Arkansas, you guys want to run? Let's run. And to me, that just illustrates that UConn can play any type of way and find a way to beat you because they're just all around a really good team.
There he is, David Cobb from CBS Sports on the HelloFresh guest line to talk some March Madness, Sweet 16 continuing tonight in Kansas City and Louisville. David, thanks a lot for your time. Enjoy the rest of the second weekend.
Hey, will do. Thanks.